All right, praise the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. All the time. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, it says, that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, thank you for your word, and we thank you for the opportunity to preach it. Thank you for the opportunity to be under the preaching of it. And God, I pray you do a mighty work here tonight. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Paul talking to Timothy at the end of his, towards the end of his life. He'd probably live another year or two after this, maybe a I think about 2 years after this. He's talking to young Timothy, preparing him for the ministry. Not sure if you're familiar with some of the things that Paul has gone through. It's not in my notes, but 2 Corinthians chapter number... look at chapter number 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, it says this in verse 22, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." How do you not, after time number one, say, you know what, I think I'm good. Like, I'm out. "Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, and journeys often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." That's the ministry for Paul. And he said, thank you, God. This is at the end of his life. This isn't the young man out of Bible college excited about trying to, storm hell's gates with his scripture underneath his Bible and every dream ahead and that he would be the next Spurgeon or Moody or something like that. No, this is a man at the end of his ministry encouraging the next generation of ministry, having gone through all of those things, said, thank you, God, for even considering me for the ministry. And what a blessing. What a great attitude towards the ministry. I love this verse. It says this, "Who hath enabled me?" We read about the pedigree, if you will, of Paul, a tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a Hebrew of Hebrews. He knew the law. He had clout, he had stature, and probably not just fame, but had wealth at that position. The Bible says this, "I did all the things that I was able to do for the cause of Christ, not because I was something, but God enabled me." Isn't that a blessing? Who is it that allows us to serve Him? God. Hey, listen, God doesn't need your expertises. Actually, it's a hindrance to Him almost. Hey, we're just going to take every good thing and every area of expertise, we're just going to put that aside, and we're just going to do it my way, pretty much is what God says. And that's what he did with Paul. Paul, enabled by the Lord, by God himself, for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. How is it that you find yourself in ministry? This is not a personal, here's what I want to be when I grow up, or God puts people in the ministry. Thankful for that. Out of all the abilities that we can have for the Lord, well, I'm good at finance. I'm a great teacher. I have a great ability to get my thoughts into words. Hey, that's a gift, I'll tell you. To think about something and be able to articulate it well, Maybe you're athletic, or maybe you just got one of those magnetic personalities that people just like to be around. Say, God can surely use that. Certainly could. But the greatest ability that God has, that you have, that God can use, that you have, is simply your availability to the Lord. That's what Paul did. He made himself available. I'm going to ask you tonight to consider your life. Have you made yourself available to the Lord? Exodus chapter number 3 tonight. We have four simple stories. A little bit different type of message here tonight. We'll look at a biblical example. We'll look at an earthly example. And then we'll move on to the next one. Exodus chapter number 3. Moses. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro's father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock in the backside of the desert. And he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. So we're jumping into a story. But there's a prequel to this. Moses was part of those young Hebrew boys that should have been slaughtered that day, and his mom put him in this little makeshift boat, if you will, sent him down the river, only to find himself at Pharaoh's daughter's feet. She brings him in, raises him as her own. And for the next 40 years, Moses finds himself living in the house of Pharaoh. An Israelite, if you will, living in the house of Pharaoh. And there his people are going through some, what I would say, some difficult things. He sees a Hebrew being taken advantage of by an Egyptian, and there's something nationally, patriotically, whatever. He defends this helpless one to the point of killing the Egyptian. Tries to bury him in the sand. He must do a bad job burying, because there's a lot of people that know. Pharaoh gets wind of it, and he runs away. In his effort to run away, he comes to the valley of the, Midian here, comes into this area, and as he's coming there, Midian's daughters, there's seven daughters, there they are by the well, and the shepherds come, and they're antagonizing the daughters of Midian. So there he is, and he says, "Hey guys, back up." Again, defending the daughters of Midian himself. Well, word gets to Midian, and Midian invites him in. And the Bible says in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 21, "And Moses was content to dwell with the man." Moses looked around and looked at the daughters and said, "You know what? I think I can make this work." And so he finds himself a daughter of Midian at his side, Zipporah. Doesn't that just make you smile thinking about Maysoon and Dominic? But there's Zipporah, his daughter, and they have a son, and there he is. And there's Moses on the backside of the desert. Now, for the next 40 years, he's 80 at this point. He's been content. "I'm just going to, you know what, I did my thing back there in Egypt. That was a different lifestyle. Here I am. I just tend sheep, having a nice time, just minding my own business, doing what it is that I do in the mountain of God." And then the Lord shows up. It's amazing when we're living our life and God just shows up. Unexplained. Man, he's about to change Moses' course. "And there the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." He must have been staring at that bush for a while. It would take me, as I think about it, it would take me a little while to figure out that, hey, that thing's on fire, yet it's not going up. I don't know if there was something unique about the fire. I don't know what it was, but it drew Moses' attention. And Moses said, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt." There's natural things that seem unnatural sometimes. Maybe it was because of this. Maybe it was a rainy day. And all of a sudden, the bush over there is on fire. And Moses is like, "Wait a second, it's raining, and that thing's burning." I remember a couple years ago out here, I came pulling out of the driveway over here, and it hadn't rained for a couple weeks. It was one of those dry spells, and there was water running down the driveway of the church. And I thought, "Oh, how nice." I'm like, "Wait a second. We ought not to be having water." And sure enough, we get around the side, and the water main broke. Nothing alarming about having water, but there were some sort of circumstances that drew Moses' attention. Again, we don't know why or what it was, but he saw the bush. It was on fire, and it didn't burn, and the Lord was trying to draw him. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, could it be that something that God put inside his heart? You know, sometimes you end up at a place, maybe, I was talking to someone this morning, and they said, you know what, I woke up and I was sore, I was hurting. I didn't want to go to church, but something inside said, I got to be in church this morning. He goes, a while ago I would have fought that and just dismissed it, but I just felt God really pushed, and I kind of pushed through, and I came, and the Lord ministered to my heart. I wonder if there was something like that in Moses' heart. All of a sudden God says, hey, I want you to go look at that thing. And he's thinking, what on earth? But when he saw the obedience of Moses, and God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, here God himself shows up and he calls out to Moses, and Moses responds with what we ought to respond with. Here am I. When God calls your name, and when God calls and comes by your way and says, I've got a job for you, you don't say, I need the details. You don't say, hey, explain to me how this is going to go. How's this going to change? I got a nice place over here on the backside of the desert. No, when God calls your name, your answer is, here am I. And that's just what he said. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. You will see this pattern repeated in each of our stories. God reveals himself. The man then gets a view of God in a unique perspective, that changes his heart. Here, God speaks to him audibly. And he says, hey, where I am is holy. So you get your shoes off, boy. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. You know what that tells me? Moses had a fear of the Lord. If not before, right then. This man would go on, look at verse 11, Moses said unto God, who am I? Ever feel like that? I know I feel like that all the time. I was praying before service tonight in my office, and I said these exact words. I said, God, I'm available, but who am I? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? I'm no deliverer. I'm no author. That's what he would end up being. He would pen the law of God for all of mankind. Say, oh, if it wasn't for Moses, we wouldn't have the law. If it wasn't for Moses who didn't pen the law is our schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. Law is important. And we would see a man here. We'd see a man that would walk by faith. What was his call to do? It wasn't to deliver the nation of Israel. It was to just do what God told him to do. Moses, I'm going to need you to just trust me and go and say what I tell you to say. And Moses says, he tried to get out of it. It wasn't the man of Moses that was so special. It was the God of Moses. Look at verse 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. He's kind of saying it, I hear it a little snarky, all right? What am I supposed to say? The God of your fathers sent me? And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. See, it wasn't Moses, it was the God of Moses. God actually tells Moses, I'm going to deliver the nation of Israel. I'm just going to use you. So what did Moses have to do? Simply make himself available to God. There was a young man at the age of 20 who would allow the Lord to use him. He just simply came to God and said, God, all right, I give up, here's me. Who in his past had a past, may I say. A man, Moses here, what was he? He was a murderer. He was a deserter. And God says, I'll use it. I'm not saying that you go around. I'm saying God can wipe away the past. There's one that was perfect, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe all of us, to some degree, have a past. And there was a young man about 20 years of age, and he would allow the Lord to use him. However, he was a thief and a drunk. He actually was a downer. He was a doubter of Christ. He was an antagonistic. He was antagonistic and a mocker of Christ. If a friend would say that he was a follower of Christ, he would mock him unmercifully until the Lord got a hold of his heart. And oh, this young man, George Mueller, would go on to be one of the greatest examples of faith in our modern era. Who, as you've heard me say, his father would not trust him with a penny. That's how he lived. Yet God trusted him with millions of dollars, to which he was so careful to give every credit and every allocation of every penny that God used through him. See, what was that? That was just a young man that said, that had a bad past like Moses, and said, I'm available to you, God, if you want to use me. You might have in your life discredited yourself and said, hey, listen, I got a bad past. I can't be used of God. Well, if you make yourself available, it's amazing what God has used in the past. He used the Moses, who simply walking up to a bush of fire, when God called his name, he said, here I am. Number two, 1 Samuel chapter number 3. Samuel is the final judge of Israel. Judges is a ugly cycle of apostasy and wandering and then returning back to the Lord. And Samuel is the last one before they switch over to kings. And in 1 Samuel chapter number 3 in verse 1 it says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. Sounds very similar to our previous story. So what's the difference? Well, let us continue. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. Listen, little boy, I'm sleeping. Stop bothering me. Ever have that? You're sleeping and you wake up and your child's face is this far away? That's an awful feeling. Sometimes over the years, our children have sleptwalked a little bit, and you know what that means there. And they come into your room, and they're talking about gibberish, to which if you're awake, it's quite humorous. But if you're sleeping, not so humorous. So Samuel comes barging into Eli's room, Eli being the high priest, just about as wicked as the day is long, and this young child is here whose mom dedicated him to the use of the Lord. And God calls him, and he's unfamiliar with a call like that, and he runs to Eli, and he says, what did you want? And he says, I didn't call you. Go back to bed, you crazy kid. And the Lord called yet again Samuel, in verse 6, and Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I said, I called not, my son, lie down again. Aren't you glad for second chances? Hey, that when God came by your way and he said, I want to use you, and you said, I'm busy, I got something else going on. Or you weren't trained to hear the voice of God in your life. Then he came by a second time still, and Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Hey, listen, this kid's not having a bad dream. Do you see that he's called a child, though? That tells me, young man, that God could be dealing in your heart already. Three times he missed the call. Ever miss a call? Ever play phone tag? Oh man, that's a frustrating thing, especially when you're trying to get in touch with somebody and you somehow leave your phone on silent or something. At the end of last week, we got a new program for our computers at school, and I don't know how to use it all, and I had some questions, and so I called tech support. He missed my call. He called me back. I missed his call. I called him back. He missed my call. Oh man, I'm about to drive to Tennessee just to have a face-to-face with this guy. Imagine missing the call of God three times. Hey, that's a little frustrating. You think the Lord's a little frustrated? Three times I've called your name, and you've gone somewhere else. Hey, how many times has the Lord called your name, and you've gone in a different direction? Hey, you should be here, Samuel. I'm calling to you, and you're going to answer over here. Well, thankfully, Eli, for a moment, has a bit of wisdom, and he says, listen, God is calling you. When he calls you again, he says, therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. Samuel simply made himself available to God. Took four times, but he was just a child. Aren't you glad for the patience and the faithfulness of God towards us? I say, thank God for second chances, but it's more like this. Hey, on the fourth time, listen, he says, the Bible says this, the Lord came and stood. Samuel got to see something that not a lot of people got to see. Samuel got to hear something that not a lot of people get to hear. The call of a child to yield himself to you to be used of the Lord. And I ask the question, who has the Lord called to other times that you have dismissed? Because there was no way God was calling you. No, listen, that is insane. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob isn't calling to talk to me. I'm just a kid. And you may have dismissed the plea for God in your life to be used of the Lord. But what does Samuel simply do? Here am I. Here am I, Lord. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers in word and conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and purity. He's going to use Samuel to reproach Eli. God's going to use this child to bring judgment in the house of Eli. God's going to use this child to bring about Saul and David. That's something special. What does God have planned for you? Pastor, what does God have planned for me? I don't know, but I think the best thing to do is to just make yourself available. I don't know if this young man had caught wind of my notes this evening, but right before church, I don't have this happen often. He came to me, little guy, came to me right before church and said, "Is there anything I can help you with?" He started with, "Are you preaching tonight?" I'm like, "As far as I know, like, unless you know something different, like, are you planning?" And he says, "Do you need help with anything?" just making himself available. Man, that warmed my heart. I'm trying to think of stuff, right? Like, how are you changing oil? I don't know. Like, are you? I knew I already had some water. I was trying to think of something. Imagine if we just went to God and said, God, is there anything I can do for you? I just want to let you know I'm available. How does God not go, that's wonderful. Young boy at the age of 17 left home. At 18, gave his soul and life to Christ. He would preach through the Civil War. His name was D.L. Moody. He said this about Psalm 62:11. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. He said, good thing God just wasn't on Charles Finney, but available to all. Every ounce of that, listen now, 280-pound body of his belonged to God. Everything he was and everything he had belonged wholly to God. See, we have examples of this in the Old Testament and throughout our scriptures, but it's kind of neat when a person does it. He would preach through the Civil War. He would preach both in the U.S. and England, and he was one of the main tools that God used to bring revival in two continents. A dear friend of his, dear friend of D.L. Moody, Henry Varley, in Moody's earlier days of his work, loved to tell this story. He loved to tell how he once said to Moody, it remains to be seen what God will do with a man who gives himself wholly up to him. It is told that when Mr. Henry Varley said that, Moody said to himself, well, I will be that man. It remains to be seen what God will do with a man who gives himself wholly to him. Lord, I'm available. Isaiah chapter number 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. Imagine seeing that. I've seen some neat things. I got to travel a little bit. Every time I tell people, I've been to Africa a few times, did you see Victoria Falls? Have you seen lion? No, that's far away. far away from where we go, and it would extend our trip 3 days, and it cost a lot more, and like, oh, I'd go see that. Well, seeing other things. I did get a chance to see the Hoover Dam, amazing. Got a chance to see the Grand Canyon. That's impacting. Imagine getting a view of heaven and seeing seraphim, so much so that you were allowed to write it. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. Sounds like Moses to me. Who am I? Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord. Not only did he get a chance to see heaven, he got a chance to hear heaven. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And Isaiah simply, purely, humbly said, Here am I. Send me. Just made himself available, and he said, Go and tell this people. Hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. He says, You're going to go say things that you're not going to even understand. Good, I feel better. Ever read through Isaiah and go, I have no idea what he's talking about. Good news, neither did Isaiah. So if the author didn't even, okay, all right. I wonder if Isaiah, while writing it, is this for now or for later? You know, that's often my question in reading through Isaiah. I was looking at Mr. Parrott to see if he nodded for that. He said no. He gets it. But the view of God and seeing heavenly things will give you a burden for the souls of man. Looking up into heaven, and he got a glimpse of the glories and the holiness of God. And he says, Hey, we need somebody. And Isaiah's like, Ooh, call on me. I'm available. Oh, that we would catch a glimpse of heaven for a moment. Oh, that we could see the glories of heaven in our heart and in our mind. Why? Because that would change us. We would be lining up at the sign-up table for the Lord and say, would you let me go? Can I go? Can I go tell people? If that place is for real, can I go? I'm available. Best thing I can think of is, have you ever been to like a baseball game? Yeah. And they bring that, Brother Thren was talking about it. They bring that cannon out that shoots out T-shirts. Who wants a T-shirt? Whole place goes crazy, right? For a T-shirt. Who wants to go tell the world that Jesus Christ died on the cross and can save their soul? They need to be taught. They need to be baptized. We need a church and a place. We need the scriptures. I'm sitting on my hands. Is that so? Who wants a free shirt? Me! Something's wrong with us. That the glories of heaven don't move our hearts. Don't change us to say, I would be willing. I don't know if you want me. I don't know if you're going to use me to that fashion, but I am willing to go. I don't know what would be more impacting, a glimpse of heaven or a glimpse of hell. If for a moment we could hear the screams and the cries of hell. Smell the fumes of hell. See one face looking back at us. I don't know what that would change with us. Would we volunteer then? Would we say, Here am I, God, if you want to use me? Charles Thomas Studd was an English missionary. He was a professional cricket player. There was something called the Tournament of Ashes. This is where Australia plays England. I guess it's a big thing. I don't even understand cricket. I tried to watch it, tried to learn the rules. It's kind of like baseball, but not really. But he was good. There he was in the Tournament of Ashes, and it was 1884, his brother fell sick. And they came to him and asked Charles Studd this question. What is all the fame and flattery worth when a man comes to face eternity? Can we think about that again? What is all the fame and flattery worth when a man comes to face eternity? See, I can't comprehend the magnitude of that question. Imagine going to Michael Jordan and saying to Michael Jordan, because that would be the equivalent of this man at his time, at his sport. Mr. Jordan, what is the fame and flattery worth when a man comes to face eternity? What good are those shoes going to do you in eternity? What is the millions going to... Charles Studd had to admit that since his conversion 6 years earlier, he had been in an unhappy, backslidden state. As a result of the experience, he stated, "I know that cricket would not last, and honor would not last, and nothing in this world would last." From then onward, Charles began witnessing. He would faithfully serve his Savior in China, India, and Africa. Charles, also known as C.T. Studd, would be part of the Cambridge Seven, a group of young men that would literally turn the world upside down. He had a motto, "If Jesus Christ is God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for Him." Here am I. Moses, the bush is on fire. "Moses, here am I, Lord." "Samuel, here am I." "Who will go for us?" "Here am I." You see what can happen if we just make ourselves available. Last one, Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And he's journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven." When he tells this story, he said that he actually saw Christ. In his own personal testimony, "He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." What happened? One that was so opposed to the things of God finally stopped fighting. Finally gave up. If Paul was who he said he was, which we read in the scriptures, I gotta believe that as they stoned Stephen and they laid his garments at the feet of one called Saul, that there were times that in the midst of those Pharisees in Jerusalem, I wonder if Saul was one of those. I got to think that Saul heard the preaching and teaching of Christ. That he was probably convicted and he knew it was right, but he quenched that for so long until finally he yielded. "Who art thou?" He said, "I am Jesus." And then he responded, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Have you asked God that question about your life? God, what is it that you want me to do? Here, Paul finally gives up. Say, how does it go for Paul? Well, we started our service with his story. It says in 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse 12, that he was thankful to have been in the ministry. young man by the name of Adoniram Judson was not saved until he was 20 years of age. He had become a confirmed deist, due largely to the influence of a brilliant unbeliever in college who set out to win Judson to the deist faith and succeeded. But amazingly, Judson's conversion to Christ was due in large measure to that same deist. After graduation, Judson left home to become a wanderlust. That means he traveled around and just fulfilled every whim of his flesh. One night in a country inn, his room was adjacent to a room of a dying man. The moaning and groaning of that man through the long night permitted Judson no sleep. His thoughts troubled him. All night questions assailed his soul. He asked questions like, was the dying man prepared to die? Where would he spend eternity? Was he a Christian, calm and strong in the hope of life in heaven? Or was he a sinner, shuddering in the dark brink of the lower region? Judson constantly chided himself for even entertaining such thoughts, contrary to his philosophy of life beyond the grave, and thought how his brilliant college friend would rebuke him if he learned of these childish worries. The next morning, when Judson inquired of the proprietor as to the identity of the dead man, he was shocked by the most staggering statement he had ever heard. He was a brilliant young person from Providence College, and he told him his name. That young unbeliever was the one who destroyed Hudson's faith. Judson said now he was dead and was lost. Was lost. Those words raced through his brain, rang in his ears, roared in his soul. Was lost. There and then, Judson realized he was lost too. He ended his traveling, returned home, and sought God for the pardon of his soul. He was saved and dedicated his life to the Master's use, and that's all we can do. We don't tell God where or how we serve. We just make ourselves available. Adoniram Judson would go to a place called Burma. His conversion not only saved his soul, but it smashed his dreams of fame and honor for himself. His one pressing purpose became this, to plan his life to please his Lord. He died on April 12, 1850, at the age of 62. Except for just a few months, Judson had spent 38 years in Burma. He waited 6 years for his first convert. Sometime after his death, a government survey recorded 210,000 Christians. I wonder what God could do with you if you make yourself available. Like Moses, here am I. Like the young boy Samuel, here am I. Like Saul, here am I. Like Isaiah, here am I. What of you tonight? Have you made yourself available to God? You don't need to sell yourself to the Lord. He's just looking that you make yourself available. If you're feeling that touch of upon your heart here tonight, he came by Samuel's way 4 times. So how many times is he going to come? If I say no now, maybe you've already told them no in the past. And it's a blessing that he would even come by your way again tonight. Could you simply just make yourself available? Say, what does that look like? Where does that go? I don't know. How about just say, here am I. I don't know what you want to do with me. I don't know where you want me to, but I'm available. Just like that young man before church. Pastor, is there anything I can do for you? God, is there anything? I'm available. The greatest ability you have is availability. Let's all stand. Have you made yourself available to God? In a moment, the music's going to play. We will pray. Maybe you simply want to come forward and just say, God, I don't know where it leads me. I don't know where how it goes, but I'm available. I'm available. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you that you would even consider us. What am I? Who am I? Who are we? But God, we want you to use us. God, we want you to use our school. We want you to use our bus ministry. We want you to use our Sunday school ministry. God, we want you to use our junior church. We want you to use this building. We want you to use our buses. We want you to use the parsonage. We want you to use every single person that's in here for your honor and glory. And God, we make it all available to you. Every dime, every penny that we have, God, is all yours. Every acre, every square inch of this place is dedicated to you. Lord, as individuals we come, yielding ourselves here we are. We're available to do whatever it is that you want us to do. However you want to use us, God, use us in a mighty way. Lord, bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here tonight? The greatest ability is availability. Here am I. Moses was 40 when the Lord touched his heart. I see a lot of kids at the altar, but what about adults? Say, I'm past that. We heard a lot about tonight, just average person, just making themselves available. These were no different than you and I, but just simply said, God, here I am. The greatest ability God uses is availability. You know, I think it's interesting. If I said that to the Lord, what's different tomorrow? I'm not sure, but I'll tell you this. When Isaiah said, here am I, send me, his first message wasn't preached for another 16 years. What does that mean? It means that it might not be tomorrow. But you just make yourself available to the Lord that whenever he's ready, you're there. You be faithful until that day. You prepare for that day. I mean, you never know who might be standing in front of you. You know, his first message, Isaiah preaches, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. That's a big one right off the bat, may I say. It's not like, well, you know, Isaiah's proven himself. Message number one was the virgin birth. You're gonna say things that you're not gonna even understand. Yeah. Hey, let's just make ourselves available to the Lord. What time is it? 7:35. Can we sing one song for one youth choir song? One more song? Are we good with that? Can we do that? All right, you may be seated. Let's have our youth choir. Say, service over? No, service not done. and you're not allowed to leave. Actually, we want you to come back in. Thank you, Zeke. And hey, if the Lord touches your heart during the song, if you were hesitant to move during the preaching, well, now's a good time. What song is this, Roger? That's My God. Man, what a great song. Hey, each one of those individuals in the scriptures that we saw, whether it was Moses, got a view of the Lord, and that changed them. That when they saw God, that they saw God move, that they were aware of who God was and His holiness and power, they said, what can we do? How can we sign up? We want in. Each one of them. Samuel, Moses, Isaiah, and Paul himself. Hey, Lord, give me a glimpse of You. If we see I'm not saying that Jesus is going to be standing in our doorway, but help our heart and mind be able to see Christ. See the glories of heaven, that we are fully persuaded that the book we hold in our hand is 100% true. Because if that is true, then we ought to say, here am I. All right.
The angry crowd cried out to crucify. They nailed Him to a rugged cross and left Him there to die. They gambled for the royal robe He wore, not knowing they had crucified My Lord. He bore the sin and shame of all mankind, and as He hung there dying, I was on His mind. His sacrifice and love some don't appreciate, but I would like to speak and set the record straight. Nothing more than fairy tale. He's just a myth or legend. His presence is not real. His word is not correct politically. They curse and mock His name defiantly. Oh, but time has never changed the changeless one. Their lies cannot disprove the existence of His Son. Though some may be content to just sit by, I for one will stand and testify.
Proclaim, amen. Yeah. The truth, we don't have to worry about it. God is true. Amen. Give What was that verse in Psalm 62? Hold on. I can't see. I got tears in my eyes. Am I close? Yeah. Okay, there we are. Hold on. Psalm 62, 11. God has spoken once, twice have I heard it, that power belongeth unto God. Man, praise the Lord for that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, I'm humbled by the crowd of young people that desire to serve you that stand behind me. Lord, may we be an encouragement and a strength to them. Lord, I pray you'd use them in a mighty way. Lord, you see their heart, you see their desire. God, I pray that you would bless them. Thank you for those that are here tonight. God, as you stirred in our hearts, God, help us not soon forget the promises and the things that we have told you. God, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your patience with us. Lord, watch over us now. Protect us as we travel home. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a good night.